Welcome to the Marriage Podcast with David and Summer.
We're here to dive into all things marriage, faith, and family. Real talk for real couples.
Thanks for joining us. Let's get into today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Marriage Podcast with Dave and Summer. And we believe that every marriage can make it and that every marriage has a purpose. And here we go again, babe, another episode.
Another episode.
Let's do it.
Yes.
And today we're talking about the big subject in marriage on boundaries. And we're going to talk about boundaries with extended family.
Okay.
Boundaries with friends, maybe even possibly exes if people have gone through that, a divorce and navigating their new spouse with their ex.
Okay.
Probably we'd be with co-parenting in that situation.
Sure.
Most of the time. Even hobbies, how to navigate boundaries with hobbies, balancing what we enjoy doing versus still having quality time with each other in our families. So when you think of boundaries, babe, what comes to your mind?
Boundaries. Well, I mean, I think people, when they use boundaries, they try to, you know, this is the line, you know, draw the line kind of thing. And I think that really when it comes to marriage, you got to look at your spouse first and ultimately what's the best for you and your spouse.
Right.
So it's not necessarily you got to do this and all that thing. It's like, no, really, how can I be the best wife and how can my husband be the best husband in our marriage and go from there?
That's good. I remember preaching on boundaries at church and one of our staff members, he's in the production team right now. Zane, he gave me the analogy that, and I use this in the message, that boundaries is like on a balcony, and if you have guardrails, you can go up to the guardrails, look over, see what's out there, but be safe. If you don't have the guardrails, obviously it's dangerous, and the balcony becomes a potential death trap or an opportunity to get hurt. So really think about boundaries. Boundaries is not to keep you out, or you know what I mean, or you're out of my space and get away from me. To me, boundaries would be more like, you know, the guardrails on a balcony where I can walk. It creates more of an open space for me to walk around that balcony, look out, look over it. I'm protected, and we can enjoy this space together.
Right.
So I want to encourage us today, as you listen to this podcast, boundaries is not to shut out, you know, my wife. It's to actually create a safe place for my wife, and for me. And it doesn't mean I can't have solitude in my own space and vice versa, but it's not keeping you out. It's actually bringing us together.
Right.
And we can explore all those areas. But when we think about
boundaries,
a big one we think about in marriage is extended family. So when we talk to couples a lot, this comes up. So this could be in-laws, so my parents, me dealing with my parents, you dealing with my parents, me dealing with your mom, and you dealing with your mom. Of course, it can be our siblings, nieces, nephews, and it just keeps going.
Right.
This is a point of tension often in marriage because you can have mama's boys. You can have daddy girls, you know, daddy's girls, and they're connected to their parent in some ways more than their spouse, or the boundary is skewed. How would you think about that or talk about that? We don't really deal with that in our marriage, which I, but it's a real thing.
For sure.
And so we're not saying we're better. We're just saying we deal with other stuff. But some couples, this is real. How would you speak to that?
Well, one, it's like when you, I'm like starting to think about when our boys, and I'm like, get married. And I'm like, okay, that's a different that could be hard from the parent end, I guess, you know, just look at that dynamic. But number one, if there is an issue, say from your in-law to your in your marriage, I really feel like the spouse needs to talk to their parents. They need, it makes it so much easier. They need to be able to stand up for their spouse or stand up for their household and say, mom and dad, this is how can we come to the highest point of agreement, because this is what we're going to do in our household.
So you're saying, to be clear, you're saying with your mom, mm-hmm. it should be your role to talk to your mom.
Right.
You're not saying I can't talk to her.
Right.
But you're saying it's your role to initiate
yes.
those conversations, talk about that and say, hey, we need to change some things. And then if I need to come in the conversation,
right.
I do, and vice versa.
Even with my siblings, I feel like, you know, anyone on my side of the family, I need to mm-hmm. talk and handle that first.
I agree with you, but let's talk, why would you think that?
Well, one, it's hard. It mm-hmm. would be hard for the other family to receive me and to hear what I have to say, and you not backing up or standing and initiating what I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be hard.
Yeah.
And what
even
about
though
you?
Even though we're married and we are family, mm-hmm. your mom, I call her mom, mom. Mm-hmm. And so we have that dynamic and vice versa. You call my parents dad and mom. Mm-hmm. Even though that's the case, you're her daughter.
Right.
And I'm their son.
Right.
And so there is something to be said about that. Mm-hmm. And I think that even if you have an issue with my dad mm-hmm. Or my mom, obviously that needs to be worked out with you, but I need to shoulder that and say, mom and dad, I need this to be better. We need this to be better mm-hmm. with Summer. We need to have a conversation. I'm asking you to make this better. Mm-hmm. And I need to help spearhead that and not put it all on you. And sometimes we've heard a couple say this, and let's say it's my parents.
Okay.
Sometimes the son to the mom and dad can be somewhat afraid or intimidated.
Yeah.
And so they want to get out of the way and let the wife just mm-hmm. deal with it and take the blow or give the blow. And that's not, we're in this together. So I need to help you mm-hmm. and not be afraid of my mom and dad. And some people are, and I'm not shaming you, but if that's the case, that needs to get broken.
Right.
Because now that we're married, we are each other's number one priority.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a learning curve we did have. Our parents are very supportive. I'm very thankful for that. Mm-hmm. They're not perfect. We've had conversations with our parents,
right. But
we haven't had that drama. But I would say when we got married, we had to realize that my mom and dad aren't number one anymore.
Right.
And my siblings aren't number one anymore. Mm-hmm. You're number one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking second seat.
Yeah.
And now I'm number one to you and your mom and all that is second. And that mm-hmm. takes an adjustment period because the dynamic shift.
Right.
And now all of a sudden we serve each other first.
Well, or I would say the first year mm-hmm. in our marriage, this is before we had kids, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a family member that needed some assistance. And before we were married, I would always go help this family member. And so I was like thinking, okay, I could just drive up there, and it was weighing on me, on my shoulders. And I'll never forget, I think I was coming up the stairs and I guess I just had this dark cloud around me. And you were just like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, your family member is no longer number one. I am number one. And it just kind of snapped me back. And I was just like, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. You are number one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's so important for those of us that, even though it's not maybe parents, it could be siblings, it could mm-hmm. be nieces and nephews, it could be aunts and uncles, cousins, yep. whoever, even friends,
mm-hmm.
That your spouse is number one.
Well, here's one way I didn't do this. This is funny. At the time it wasn't. Our first Christmas. So I was able to get a home a year before. We got married and I lived, lived by myself for that year, got the house ready to go. For Summer. And that was a fun time. We had good times. I remember one night before she went back to her apartment, she made dinner. It's kind of like we got to see what this would look like in the next months ahead getting married.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I did is we always have Christmas at my mom and dad's house. And still today, we still have a huge family gathering at my mom and dad's house, usually not on Christmas Day anymore, but some point around the holiday. And so when we first got married, I did not set up any Christmas trees. We had no Christmas decorations in our home because in my mind, we've been married for 6 months at that point. We're going to my mom and dad's for Christmas. And you can see by her eye roll, that didn't go good. And so what happened so that was a little bit of a boundary where I was expecting to go back to my parents' house. They didn't put that on me. I was just feeling that. And
my mama's boy.
Summer.
No, just kidding.
Summer said, that's never happening again. So we went to Target, bought a Christmas tree.
Did
and
we
still, yeah, we still have that Christmas tree today. Every year we have a family tradition where we get it out before Thanksgiving. We're doing it earlier and earlier now. And we set it up with our kids, play Christmas music really loud in the house, and have this time together. But that's an example of, for us, not having boundaries. And you wanted your own Christmas with me, and I needed to relearn that and set a new precedent. And ever since then, we've done that.
Right. Well, you got to understand, me growing up, I loved Christmas, and I was the one who would always put up the Christmas tree in my family. And I don't care if it was by myself. I loved it that much, putting up the Christmas tree. And this dude is like, we're not getting a Christmas tree, let alone.
That was a mistake. Don't do that, man.
I, you know, was feeling or grieving mm-hmm. my family, mm-hmm. not being around my family on Christmas. So it was just, it was a lot of emotions. Yep. And I'm like, we're going over your mom and dad's. Like, you were used to this. Like, this is totally.
Yeah.
New. So I think, you know, those of you who are dating or engaged, mm-hmm. Newlyweds, please talk about when it comes to holidays. Talk about holidays beforehand and just see how you're going to handle it. Because, and your family is gracious. And I would say my family is gracious too. My mom lived in Vegas at the time, mm-hmm. so that it really wasn't hard. But my point is that families have traditions, and it's like, oh, this is what we do on this specific date. And when you get married,
it's going to change.
It's going to change. And you're going to have to create a new tradition for your own family.
And new boundaries. And so I would encourage all of us here, as you listen to this podcast today, if you're married, you already know this. If you're going to be married, you're going to find out. Conflict is going to happen. Something's going to happen, not only in the marriage, mm-hmm. but with the family. And we've had that, where we've had to have conversations with your mom or my parents or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And when you do life with people, that's going to come up. And what you're saying is really with boundaries with extended family, if it deals with my mom and dad, I need to spearhead that. Mm-hmm. I need to shoulder the initial conversation. If it is with you, mm-hmm. obviously you need to talk to them. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be the spokesperson for you. Mm-hmm. You're an adult. But I need to shoulder that, help set the precedent, and help set the table, so to speak, for that conversation to happen, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And so today, probably someone watching, maybe you have a fear of your mother or a fear of your father. I want to encourage you. You got to break through that, because you got to have boundaries with your family. Mm-hmm. And now that you're married, or you're going to be married, you now are number one to that spouse. And your parents, while we respect and honor them, mm-hmm. as the Bible tells us to, they are not number one. We are serving each other in our home. Mm-hmm. And we have to have those conversations and get it. And for some, that's a massive deal today, but I believe you can do it.
Right.
You know, with God especially.
And I would say, even with boundaries in a way, I remember a friend of the family before I got married, and she gave me some great advice. And one of the things that she said was like, you got to remember, you're not going to be able to share everything with your mom. That was mm-hmm. a new boundary for me. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking, I mean, of course I know certain things, but I was just like, really? And she was like, no. She's like, because if you think about it, especially if you guys get in an argument, you don't want to share really everything to your side of the family of what he or she has done, because you're going to have more grace for your spouse more than your family would. And I was just like, mm-hmm. whoa.
That's a good thought.
And so for me, really with my mom, like, don't get me wrong, like I could share some stuff with her, but for the majority of the part, I really share about me, because I know she's going to tell me, girl, you need to get your life together.
Let's be honest. She has told my parents about me.
Now that,
and they take her side, and
that's
then
not
they
all
go
the way
on.
True.
Yes, they
do. They see both sides. But I will say that I can talk to your parents about, you know, certain issues.
And they call me aside.
And they know their son, though. They love their son. And they have grace for their son, right?
Oh, yeah, they correct me. All right, okay. Boundaries with family, then boundaries with friends. Mm. So we're just talking about this because for some couples, we've heard that their spouse hangs out with their friends a major amount of time, or, you know, a lot, and it's disproportionate to their time with their family. And there can be dynamics. Mm-hmm. This ties into, like, I have high school friends, guy friends, whatever. We hang out, but we haven't tackled this subject per se, but for some people, this is a big deal. This even ties into the husband having friends that are female and the wife having friends that are male.
Mm-hmm.
Is that appropriate?
Mm.
And then how do you do that? How do you, what's the boundaries with friends? Because we got to be together as a couple.
Right.
We got to have time together. And we need to have times with our friends and be able to, you know, chill out and hang out. How would you speak to that? Because that's for some couples, this is a big issue.
Sure. So I have to be honest. I don't have that issue.
Right.
A lot, the friends that I have a small knit friends. And I would say friend, and then I have friends outside of where we live.
Yep.
And so because of that, I'm a loner. So I'm like, cool, I'm by myself. Mm-hmm. This is great.
Well, let's say this though.
But can I, I'll keep going. So with that being said, people that I've heard have the issue, I think number one, you need to talk to your spouse and you guys need to decide, is your spouse okay with the amount of time? Mm-hmm. Are they okay with the friends that you do have?
That's a great thought.
Because some friends, your spouse could see and be like, no, this joker ain't even good for you.
I have concerns.
They're not good for our relationship, you know, or whatever.
That's good.
So I think you need to have that conversation first with your spouse.
Yep.
To be able to decide.
That's good. And not only that, we're supposed to keep going. Not only that, you can get into a situation where maybe that friend is doing wrong things and it could be whatever, and setting up dynamics that aren't healthy for your spouse to be safe or to be free from temptation, right? So I would also say, to your point, if your spouse is uncomfortable with the friends you're hanging out with, right, and they have concerns, we got to take that to heart and listen to our spouse's concern. And if our friends are doing wrong things, like if they're drinking excessively, obviously if they're smoking weed, if they're like going strip clubs, I mean, this is extreme examples, then we need to respond, or even lesser things that's less dramatic. If it's bringing, you know, me around things that aren't good for my marriage, then I need to respond to that and respect you and then be with my friends in certain situations that don't preach at them and don't compromise me.
Right.
Right. And we need to serve each other that way in our marriage.
And I would say you want friends that are promoting your marriage and not tearing it down.
That's right.
So that's key.
Yep. I would also say female friends for the husband, male friends for the wife. That can happen. Maybe it's happened in your world. To me, I'm not going to be by myself with a female. Even if we're friends since childhood, I'm just going to protect myself. It's a famous story of Billy Graham. Billy Graham's sister, he was in a city preaching, you know, had a series of meetings. And he wanted to go to dinner with his sister. And his sister is a bigger city, and his sister came and picked him up. And I think this is the story, but he made another person go with them in the car.
And it was his own sister.
His own sister. And and she said, why are you doing this? And he said, people outside this car don't know you're my sister.
I see.
And they know that you're not Ruth, and I'm not going to do this. And I was like, man.
That's extreme.
And so, I know he was more high profile.
Protection.
People would see him and all that, but it's the idea. So I'm not saying we're all have a profile like, you know, Billy Graham. But what I'm saying is that we have to be cognizant and be safe. And so I can have female friends, but I'm going to hang out with them with you in a group setting. And it's going to be more of a group hangout. I'm not going to be hanging out with them one-on-one. I'm not going to confide in them about you.
Right.
I'm going to confide in my friends that are I would say other pastors. I'm going to confide in my parents if I need to, your mom if I need to, a counselor. I'm just not going to do it. And I know you're the same way.
Yeah.
And so if you do have like a childhood friend that's for a guy's, but that's a female or vice versa, I just think, I'm not saying you can't be friends. I'm just saying when you get married, there's got to be an adjustment. And people may not like that, but that's, you know, avoid the appearance of evil. The Bible says that. We have to be wise. And who we talk to and who we confide in has got to shift after we get married, even if it's to my childhood schoolmates, right? My boys from childhood, whatever. That's got to shift. I'm talking to people that are more aligned with me with, you know, am I, you know, walk with you? What would you say to that?
No, I agree. I just want to add, I want to start talking about exes because I think it wasn't a huge thing, mm-hmm. but I remember when we were dating and we saw one of your exes, and what I loved about
it. Not married, just an ex-girlfriend.
Yeah. And what I loved about it was you were like, let's go say hi. And you was like, because it's just weird. You know, if you see your ex and it could just be weird. And so you took me by the hand and you were just like, hey, it's so good to see you. How are you doing? I think she was with her boyfriend too, if I remember. You know, and I introduced myself, I think, or you introduced me or whatever. And we just let it be. It wasn't a big deal. Mm-hmm. And so I just think.
And I said, look at me now.
That is not. Okay. You wouldn't even never do
that. I wouldn't do that, but I was thinking it.
But I'm just saying if you have that even scenario, because I've heard of people who are still friends with their exes, and maybe that works in your marriage. I don't know. But that's also something to talk about.
Well, two different things. So you're talking about boyfriend, girlfriend versus an ex-spouse. Mm-hmm. So to me, and I was referencing the ex-spouse, which is a big deal. Over half the marriages in America navigate that, being a blended family. And so probably most likely if they don't have kids, they're probably not staying connected to their spouse majority of time. Right. But if they have kids, obviously co-parenting. But I say with, again, same thing with ex-girlfriends, I'm not going to sit here and talk to ex-girlfriends. You know what I mean? Like
we I know he ain't.
That's right. We, that sounded good. We need to obviously have boundaries.
Yeah.
And now I'm committed to you. And so, but some people do this. Some people talk to old girlfriends on social media.
Right.
I'm not going to do that. Right. I mean, I don't even look people up. I'm looking you up.
Well,
come on. And I'm staying connected to you. Mm-hmm. And I think if there's a disconnect in our marriage, I need to go again to a safe place, not an ex-girlfriend or a random girl, to try to get advice. That's straight up, that's stupid.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be going to a guy, an ex-boyfriend, or a random guy, because that's a setup for, this is how affairs happen.
Exactly.
And then people get destroyed. Mm-hmm. Marriage gets famous, and it's dumb. Mm-hmm. So to me, when you get married, you know, people that aren't married, to me, I found, I can't wait to get married. I want to get married. I want to get married and think about money, think about sex, think about And that's awesome. And it's all good. It takes work, but it's good. But we forget that once we get married, There's a different dynamic.
Big time.
And boundaries now, there's new sets of boundaries that need to come in place, because if it's going to work, you got to walk it out.
Mm-hmm.
People don't think about that.
Right. And before, it's always been about you, yourself, and you. Mm-hmm. Now you're thinking about
each other.
And it's just a whole nother ball game.
And sometimes friends, we've heard couples say this, that sometimes friends, like your friend, or your friends, my friends, for example, can have a hard time in that adjustment and maybe be jealous or have a hard time with the new boundaries in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just a part of growing up. Mm-hmm. That's just a part of the dynamic of a family. And then when you have kids, you know, you're parenting.
Right.
Now let's talk about ex-spouses. We don't have that experience, we're not here to be experts. We're just here to, you know, give, I guess, our experience of talking to others.
Sure.
But I would say again, having a parenting relationship, I would hope that you can have a co-parenting relationship with your ex-spouse that is friendly and that is centered around the welfare of the child.
Yeah.
And I know I have friends, that's not the case. Mm. You have friends that their ex-spouse is causing drama and trouble and raising up ridiculous stuff. Mm. And that's sad. And I wish I could have an easy answer and boom, it all goes away, and it probably won't. But I know that God can help you. I know there's strategies and wisdom in that. And I would say there's got to be boundaries, right?
Right.
And if I would have an ex-spouse, then to me, similar to what you said about parents, I do believe, and I have counseled couples with this, that if I did have an ex-spouse and she was crossing bounds with you, it'd be my responsibility to go to her and say, hey, you can't do this to my wife.
Mm-hmm.
This is not gonna happen. We can all sit down and talk as a team, so to speak, for our kids, but this is not gonna happen. You're not gonna do this to her. and you're going to respect these boundaries and she'll respect your boundaries, but this is where it stops.
Sure.
I think that that is on, that would be on me to set the precedent and the tone. And again, not be afraid and let you get in the fight and kind of hide behind
right.
you. That's not right. If you had an ex, you know, husband, mm-hmm. you need to tell him, hey, this is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then we can talk as a family right. or as a team, so to speak. And then I need to speak for myself because I'm a man too. But I think that's a good precedent because it's setting the tone that you're standing up for your spouse, you're speaking up for your family, and you're not backing down. And we can all talk as adults, but this is what is or isn't going to happen.
For sure. And I've seen blended families have good relationships with their, you know.
Absolutely.
So
it's worked.
People have done holidays together.
We have people in our church that were married, got divorced. Each of them got remarried, mm-hmm. and both sets of families come to our church and see each other in the same service.
Yeah.
And I've told them, mad respect, mm-hmm. that you can be mature enough to do that, be in the same church, worship, co-parent, mm-hmm. and not be weird or immature.
Yeah.
And I would hope that could be the case for every family. It's probably not. But I think with boundaries, you can work and be pleasant, mm-hmm. right, and move forward. And so we talked about boundaries in our families, friends, and exes. Last one, then we'll close, boundaries with hobbies. Mm. You and I are, we're not big on hobbies either, so we're boring people. But I did play ball. You did do things.
What did I do, babe?
What's that?
What did I do?
You didn't do anything. I was just trying to make the podcast. You didn't do anything. But hobbies, even if someone loves golf, fishing, hunting, whatever, you know, it'd be
dance
shopping,
kickboxing,
whatever. To me, again, if that hobby is imbalanced and I'm spending more time with my hobby, if I'm pulling away from my spouse, if quality time is suffering from my spouse, if our relationship is suffering, meaning our conversation, our connection, and if our spouse feels like that we are now married to our hobby, mm-hmm. and or that our hobby is like our mistress from the man, then that's a problem. Mm-hmm. Nothing should have that spot
right
in our marriage.
Well, I would, if you're okay, I would put a hobby slash work too.
Yep. Work can be a,
because you have to have boundaries with work.
Preach.
And I would say that earlier on, or maybe even before, I think that was one of the reasons why I was scared to be a pastor's wife, because mm-hmm. I've seen like that could take the relationship, that could take a spouse out. And so that was scary for me. And you've done a really good job.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
And you have too. And we do work together to let you be transparent, or that we're transparent. We do work together.
Well, early on in our marriage, we didn't.
We didn't. I love working with you.
Yeah,
I'm thankful that we can work together. Mm-hmm. And we still love each other.
Right.
So I couldn't imagine not being with you every day in this capacity.
I know. It's so weird when you're not here.
But even if that's not the case for you, we have to just, no matter what, it always is, how are we nurturing the marriage? Are we serving one another? Mm-hmm. Is our boundaries, is that guardrail up and strong on that balcony where I can walk freely in that space?
Preaching.
I'm safe. I can look over it, look out. I'm protected, and my spouse is protected, mm-hmm. and we have this space where we're secure.
Yeah.
And I think that's my hope for you today, is that you can think about boundaries. No doubt someone watching or listening is dealing with family, dealing with friends, dealing with hobbies, mm-hmm. and dealing with exes, being a mm-hmm. spouse or a boyfriend, girlfriend. And I know that God has the answer, and I know that boundaries can help bring safety, and you can do it and be healthy.
Amen.
Right?
Hoorah.
Hoorah. And so thank you for checking us out on this episode. I want to encourage you to please like, subscribe, and share. We would be honored, and we're just doing our best to come to you and having real talk on real topics. We haven't arrived, but we are working on it.
That's right.
And if we can do it, so can you. So God bless you. I believe that God has great things for you, and that the best is yet to come, and we will see you at the next episode.